Doncaster on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, myself and Lizzie Roper are going to put our iPods on shuffle. Hello, Lizzie.
Hello.
Let's get onto my iPod and see what's next.
Your packet of things fell on the floor.
What fell on the floor?
Your packet of...
That's an empty packet of Snacker Jacks.
There you go.
Just mention them on air, so we'll probably get some free ones.
A whole year's supply.
Yeah, of Snacker Jacks.
It's about this time of day that I like to eat a Snacker Jack.
That's good.
Yeah.
Is this another job?
I used to do a lot of voiceovers.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
I thought so. Here we go, let's see what's next. Oh. Ballet school.
Who?
I do still use an iPod because it's...
Mind.
I'm just going to continue our conversation we were having while that song was on. It's more songs on there. It always just fills up all my iPhone.
But my iPhone is massive.
How big is it?
It's huge. It's the biggest one you can get.
What's your memory on it?
Is it 64 gig?
64 gig?
Yeah.
This iPod, 160 gig.
I've just come.
Jesus.
No, not him.
So sexual in the summer, aren't you?
See, this is why I don't like
it. Are you
like
sexual all year round?
I'm just cheap. I'm very, very cheap.
She's sexual all year round. I don't think I'd ever going to ask one of my guests that. You're always so sexual.
Oh, hey, what is this? Are you Steve Bennett?
Steve Bennett has another reviewer there. Good fun. You love reviewers, don't you?
Who was the other reviewer I mentioned?
The Sun guys. Guys from the Sun.
Oh, no, but he reviews telly.
Ah.
Yeah, it's not the same. It's not the same.
What's the difference?
I find it very difficult, the whole comedy reviewing thing, especially with Edinburgh.
Explain.
Well, I just...
I'm probably going to agree with you. I'm not setting you up for anything.
No, because a gig is a gig, and you know, if they've laughed and they leave on a high, then there's nothing else to be said about it.
Yep.
It was funny, it was brilliant, he shone. I can't stand... It's difficult enough with plays. People think that the play is the same thing. You know, it's the same words and you stand in the same place every night. But it's not. It's not boring doing a play. Mm. Every night it's entirely different. It depends on the energy of the audience, the energy of the company.
Mm-hmm.
And likewise with stand-up, it's a completely different thing. And especially when they review benefit gigs. And they complain about, he did all his old classics. Like, it was a benefit gig.
Yeah.
That's what people want him to do. And he was doing it for free. And he can't... It really gets my goat.
It's just insane, isn't it? It's just an insane thing to do. People always go on about to stand-ups and go, I couldn't do what you do.
Mm.
But you're like, well,
nobody's asking you.
With comedy reviewers, I just think, I couldn't do what you do, but for a completely different reason.
Yeah.
bring myself.
if Bill Bailey...
What a crazy life.
If Bill Bailey retired, or Eddie Izzard retired, and they decided to be a comedy reviewer, then I might be interested. But even then, it's so subjective, isn't it? Mm.
I guess it's interesting. Well, like, I'm not interested in reading reviews about anything. Like,
no, but it's that dreadful
about
thing.
Films or music or anything.
But when you're in Edinburgh, it's about, you know, bums on seats, and you need that. You need that one quote, and you know, you get that review from the Scotsman, and then the whole room sold out. So everybody, I hate it. I really hate it.
I think that definitely the thing that you can. The reason a lot of comics really hate reviewers in Edinburgh is because we suddenly. A part of us suddenly cares about them, and we feel quite bad about ourselves. I think because you go, why am I caring about this? I shouldn't keep giving this any sort of attention. I don't do for the rest of the year.
Mm.
Why am I caring about it now? And then you just don't like having someone having that kind of power over you.
Yeah.
It's not fun.
And it's quantitative, and it's still part of that horrible marketing thing.
Mm. I went, please, if somebody's listening to the podcast, please at some point just get all of Lizzie's noises and just put them in one long, just all following each other to a beat of some sort and then rap over it to really annoy her.
Oh dear.
Imagine that.
Oh God. No.
Don't rap over
it.
Don't rap over it. But put it with a beat.
Oh.
That'd be good.
Yeah. That'll do.
Do you go and watch much comedy now, or are those days behind you?
I think those days are I was very lucky. I was gigging sort of early 90s.
Mm.
But I also ran a comedy club.
Yeah.
And I was very aware. We ran an amazing comedy club. It was brilliant. Yeah. By the end, it was running with me, Tom Price, and Stan Stanley.
Yeah.
And it was a really small room, Wednesday night. The lighting was perfect. The microphone was good. Yeah. As soon as the people walked through the door, we would engage them in conversation. We would get them talking and we would sit them down. Mm. It was a really popular place for comics.
When was it?
It was on the corner of Percy Street and Rathbone Place. You know the little sweet shop opposite the Marquis of Granby? There's a bar underneath that.
Mm-hmm.
It's now called like Woodbine and Clapper or something.
What was the night called?
It was called Lunatics at the Asylum, because the place was called the Asylum, called it Loonies. And, you know, and I was very big about making an atmosphere and making it as great a place as possible for comedians. And so we would get really big comedians playing a 30-seater room because the atmosphere was great. And I find it really difficult watching comedy now. And as soon as I walk in, it's like, why are the tables facing that way? Why is the light going over there? Why isn't the light on the comedian? Why is it lighting the wall behind the comedian? Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Why is he talking? Why hasn't he been told up? Why is that music playing so loud? I'm just awful. Right. And I am going to die. I know I'm going to die in a stabbing incident, either in a cinema or in a comedy club.
What gets you angry at cinemas?
People texting on their phones. People talking on their phones.
Yeah.
I just the red mist comes over me.
Yeah, it's awful.
It's so rude. I really, really, really want to make that. I really, really want to make the film. You remember, like, oh, Charlie says, and here's a little boy with a kite on a power line. I want to make the film where it's just me, full face me going, oi, you, turn your fucking phone off. Yeah. You're not that important. You're not a brain surgeon. Nobody needs to talk to you. You don't need a text message. I just want to sort of get all that out of the way. And it'll be like the generic film. They just have to... It's that shouting Lizzie Roper again.
Yeah.
Ooh, it's a little picnic area. And just just get it all out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So at least we all know we're on the same page.
Sure. They know it anyway.
I blame the cinemas. The cinemas are the ones selling the tacos and the hot dogs.
Oh, food-wise,
crunchy food. No.
Yeah.
Very, very soft food.
Spider-Man 2, worst experience for me.
What happened?
Just the cinema full of idiots. Yeah. It was awful. Friday night, Leicester Square.
Oh, no.
Was I thinking?
Yeah.
I didn't even want to see the film. My flatmate really loved Spider-Man, and I had a Friday night off, which is rare. And he was like, oh, I'm going to go and see this film.
Mm.
Let's go and watch it together. I was like, yeah, great. And then it was not actually a very big cinema, but everyone in there was on their phones, playing games on their phones as well, not even like texting, talking to each other, getting up and getting food during the film. So I actually like put a couple next to me, got up and went out, got some food, came back, started eating whatever it was, nachos. Well, no one watched. Also, the film was atrocious. It was a really, really bad film. It's like a 2.5 hour long trailer where like everything is just like, so it's like constantly hitting you with stuff repeatedly, but none of it means anything. So it's like there's an explosion, and then someone kisses, and then Mumford and Sons is playing, and it's all like da 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 da. So it's all like emotions all the time. Really bad.
Oh, we can
get another song from your up.
Oh, it's the Magic Number. Sister. We're open.
Oh, it's open already. Okay. Well, let's see what the next song is. Cheering Breaks. You're like, this is looking pretty cool.
Oh, I'm quite disappointed.
Can't you see them running? 72. Yeah, 72. I just can't forget 72, and I just can't forget.
play a sting.
FUBAR, giving radio the finger.
Oh, look at that. It's gone straight. I didn't stop your iPod, so it's gone straight onto the next one.
Into bread. Come on. I told you before. This is what we're playing. This is what
we're playing. Joe, I'm just going to let this play because that was really good. I won't take it no more. I'm guessing that's called Down on My Knees.
I'm guessing it is, yes.
Well, that's a good song.
Excellent song, excellent album.
And the first Bread track we've had on here?
Yeah, but not the last. We're probably the last, yes.
Might not be the last, might come up again on yours. I hope there's Bread, and then we have another band, and then Bread again as a sandwich.
No, we have Jam. We have the Jam in the middle.
Oh yes.
Oh, hello.
I hope we do. I hope that happens.
Now we are cooking with...
Is there any other bands that would be a sandwich filling? What other bands? A sandwich filling? There's no bands called Ham.
There's no peanut butter.
Meatloaf?
There you go. It's a terrible sandwich, though.
Meatloaf sandwich.
That's an Elvis Presley sandwich, isn't it? He'd deep fry that and eat it on the toilet.
Yeah, it's too much. It's too much. Eating it on the toilet. Have you ever eaten food on the toilet?
No. I have no desire.
Right.
I mean, I will play with my phone on the loo. That's probably not...
Not the same.
Have you ever eaten on the loo?
I don't think I have.
I'll take a cup of tea in the bathroom with me.
If I'm on the loo, then it's a number two because I'm a boy.
Yeah, but boys...
So that means it's going to... The smell is going to interfere with my enjoyment of the food.
But also, boys, as a lady... Yeah. Speaking as a lady with a bottom, when I go to the loo, I can poo in under a minute.
And of
the male species, you need an appointment, don't you? You need a window in your diary. It's a good half hour to coax that little thing out.
And actually, I'm a bit ladylike with my poos.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm.
Get them done pretty quickly.
I've always found it staggering how men just, you know. Or maybe they just hate me and they just want to get away from me. They just need a break.
Might be. Have you checked if they're in there at all?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm.
Jimmy the window open, got out and seen their mates, then got back in.
Tell you, I'm not going to say what I'm going to say. Anyway,
blah blah blah.
No, it's just wrong and rude in toilets. No, let's not talk toilets. We're too fashionable and fabulous for that.
Speak for yourself, mate. Ham, chicken.
There is no chicken.
Salad. Well, I'm just trying to think if there's any bands that are called these things. Beef. Captain Beefheart. Cheese. Sandwich.
But no bands.
No, there's no bands called this.
No.
It's a shame.
Yeah, it is. It's a massive shame, and it's a huge oversight on bands. Maybe some new rap star might like to call himself Mr. Cheese.
Mr. Cheese, the rapper.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I wouldn't put it past them, because cheese, they talk about using a... That's a slang term for money.
Is it?
So some rappers, pocket full of cheese.
Oh, why? Why? What's so wrong with money?
What are you like slang? Language evolving?
Oh, it's not evolving. It's erupting in stupidity.
Why do you think
that? Stop it. It's money.
It's like
that whole bad thing or sick. Sick. It's not sick. It's great. Ah!
You got
me all angry.
You can't just use the word great all the time.
Great, wonderful, fabulous, amazing, sensational.
Dope.
Glorious.
Dope?
No, dope is what you smoke.
Well, before that, though, dope meant something else. You're just talking about your generation now.
And my generation wins.
James Acaster on FUBAR Radio.
We're going to be putting our iPods on shuffle. Matthew Crosby and I. Matthew Crosby, hello.
Hello.
Right, we're going to go back onto my iPod now, put it on shuffle and see what the song is. Oh, here we go. Yeah. Animal Collective.
I mean, more unlistable nonsense from the golden iPod of James Acaster there.
At the end.
Do you listen to any things that are called actual songs?
No.
Listen, where's your Jimmy Eat World? Where's your Guns N' Roses?
That's why I get you on. That's why I get guests on, because they've got to break up the noisescape.
An issue of Kerrang! Magazine walking around.
Yeah. It's very noisy at the end there. Brilliant album, though, Animal Collective. I don't know if you've got that album or if you've heard it.
Is that the one that has the cover that's like loads of little leaves?
No, although that is a good album as well.
But also, if you look at that on a computer, that cover, looks like it's moving.
Yeah, Optical Illusion.
Looks like a GIF.
So it's all like blub, 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 moving around.
It's very clever. It's a lot of fun.
Very clever. They're clever boys.
They've put some thought into it.
They wear that on their sleeve.
They've put some thought into it. Because obviously album cover artwork is dying out, really, isn't
it? Yeah, absolutely.
It's dying out. But they've thought, well, look, rather than bemoan the fact it's not going to be out on a 12-inch vinyl, we're going to use the medium.
Yeah. Well, it's like Tool do that with each one of their albums. Tool, they did one where it was 3D. Like there was some glasses attached to it, like
a little red one and a little green one.
It was two clear lenses, but circular. Oh. But like on a bit, but attached to the actual album, and then you hold up so you open it. It's all cardboard. It's all together. It's not like a pull-out sleeve,
right?
So you open it up. It's like a book, and you look at the book through these glasses, and all the images are like three-dimensional.
Wow,
images.
That sounds incredible.
One of their albums, and that was pretty. And also, you didn't expect it from clear lenses back then, either.
Was that a vinyl or was that a CD?
CD, that was a CD.
Really? They went for it with the CD?
Yeah. And before that, they did their album Lateralis, I think it's called. And the inlay, so that the booklet was just, all clear plastic with different parts of the... So different layers of the human body drawn in it.
That's great.
So it looks like a full person, and with each page you turn, you strip down until you get to the skeleton at the end.
That's really good.
That looked pretty cool.
I've got a copy of Led Zeppelin 3.
Yeah.
That has that thing where, it's like inside the cover. The cover's got little holes cut in it.
Yeah.
And you can sort of turn a little dial at the side that makes things go past.
Yeah.
So like a little Zeppelin goes past.
Yeah, lovely.
It's great. The best example of that, though, or an album I'm not a fan of, is Ladies and Gentlemen, We're Floating in Space by Spiritualized.
Yes.
They had a sort of kind of pharmacy theme, theme, and they released their CD in a blister pack.
Oh,
so you could literally pop it out of like a paracetamol. And they even did a special edition where they released 13 or 14 individual mini CDs, every track on a separate blister pack.
That's good.
That's a great idea, isn't it?
That is a really good idea, but the album's not good.
I'm not a fan of Spiritualized.
No.
I mean, they had I think Spaceman 3, which is the band they came from, I think had a song called Taking Drugs to Make Music to Take Drugs to. And I think that's kind of sums up... it's quite boring music made by quite boring people to be listened to while you're, enjoying something.
Yeah, I can't imagine you as much of a drug taker. You've probably done more drugs than I have. I've done zero.
Caffeine is a drug. I had a cup of coffee this morning, so...
That's my favourite thing from bands and stuff, whenever they get asked about drugs. They're like, you take drugs every day.
Yeah.
You all take drugs.
Yeah, the media's a drug.
Sugar's a drug. Yeah, the media is a... You read the paper, that's
the drug. Papers. Worst drug in the world. You're brainwashed, mate. That'll rot your brain. Forget the fact that I'm doing meow-meow all the time. That's what you should be worried about.
Oxygen's a drug.
Of course, we should say drugs very dangerous. Don't do them.
Yeah, don't do drugs at all.
It's very, very stupid. Absolute waste. Some of our greatest artists, we've lost them. We've lost them to drugs.
But get glamorised a lot. Let's put on a song from your iPod.
Let's put on a song, yeah.
I was about to say iPod. It is Matthew's iPhone, and I had to turn it on his channel and see a photo of his lovely wife.
Yeah.
Every time. Turn it on, and there's your wife. Where is she there?
Where is she in that photo?
Yeah.
Budapest.
Lovely.
No, tell her St. Petersburg.
Let's hear about both of those places,
though. Absolutely. Happy to do it.
After this next song. Oh, he's landed on his feet very well here, looking pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
To his neighborhood, he'll never make a sound. Ooh. Crawling out the wood. Bang, bang, my hood. Never move to my hood.
Toon Yards, Gangster. I mean, probably the song's called Gangster. That's not me.
Yeah, that's not you. Just commenting on doing it. A shout out at the end.
Yeah, very good.
Brap, brap, brap.
Very good song.
It's a great song, and I think that's given. Yeah, you're right. It's given me a bit more kind of indie rock cred.
I mean, yeah, no one's going to slag you off for that, no. Are they? So that's safe.
Yeah, you are absolutely safe. Pitchfork will not be looking down their nose at me.
Oh, Pitchfork.
Oh, Pitchfork.
Don't even get me started.
You're not a Pitchfork fan?
No, I don't like reading reviews really about music. I get very annoyed. I like film reviews.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Maybe I hate music reviews.
I don't know. Is it because you obviously don't like reading comedy reviews?
No.
Not a fan of. But is it because music is often like one person or two people or three people, whereas a film is like, here's a film of, you know, 1,000 people were involved in the making of it, isn't it?
Maybe it's the thing, where music's more. I mean, it's probably not more personal. I'm sure filmmakers would get pretty annoyed to hear me say that. But, like, I think music just seems to be this thing where, like, I think it's so subjective. It's,
yeah, absolutely.
So that I just want. I think if films, you can kind of go, that wasn't good, and I can kind of hack that a little bit more.
I guess so.
Maybe, but like, I mean,
but
yeah,
then some of the music I listen to is kind of badly made.
Yeah.
But that's what. I suppose that's it, isn't it? Because you can listen to badly made music and it's still good. Whereas a badly made film, there's almost an element of technique you have to have in order to be good at it.
Yeah.
Like that's not necessarily true either, because there is sort of sloppy.
No, sloppy films.
Sloppy filmmaking that are brilliant. Like all the early John Waters movies.
Yeah, yeah.
Are brilliant.
Yeah.
But they're. It's a tricky one.
Tricky.
I know what you mean, though. But you don't like. What about a real. Like,
Pitchfork, I just think, is very. Pitchfork.
Very sneery.
Very sneery and very like, as soon as something. They'll say something's brilliant, and as soon as it gets big, they'll say it's rubbish.
That's the enemy do the same thing as well. Like, to build them up to knock them down.
Hate it.
They loved Suede so much.
Right.
That was, you know, like 1993, when that first album came out.
Yeah.
Suede were, you know, they were gods. And then they absolutely, it's weird, but.
Yeah. Right, well, back to James's iPod now. Open wrist, talk back again. Mars Volta, a song that lasts over 7 minutes, so we're just going to...
Yeah, you've got to fade that out.
Fade it out, even though I love it.
It's a great song, but, you know, you've got to have a bit of variety on the show.
Yeah.
That's what the show's all about.
Absolutely. It is about that. You can't have Mars Volta for the full... I don't know, it's weird, isn't it? Because to get a song that's... In comedy, if you get a really long routine, you're delighted.
Oh, absolutely.
In music, I don't know if it's the same. It's the same. You go, yeah, well done, we wrote a long song. It's not like we got loads out of it. It's just that we just chose to record it more.
Yeah.
We just chose to do more and more.
In comedy, you can't do the same bit over and over again, can you? You
can't return to a chorus.
You remember that punchline from a minute ago? Here it comes again.
Yeah.
You can't have a reprise.
Yeah, you can't do a chorus and everyone sings along.
No.
I mean, maybe. maybe that's something to...
A comedy you can sing along to?
Yeah. Well, it's Peter Kay's already...
Oh, he did
Carrie Jokey.
Yeah, the jokes, you know, which I always thought was a bit of a... I remember, because I saw him at Hammersmith Apollo doing that, and I thought, it's a bit cheeky, isn't it?
Yeah, cheeky little man.
It's a bit cheeky to say, oh, here's some jokes that you, like to make a virtue of the fact you're doing old jokes.
Yeah.
That aren't, oh well.
Some jokes your uncle tells you.
Yeah.
We all know them.
Weird.
You got a favourite joke, Crosby? Favourite joke? Yeah, favourite joke. One of my favourite ones was the one that I was walking down the street and met a man who had an orange for a head.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you like that joke?
Like that joke?
Yeah.
Do you want to see, I mean, you should do the rest for the listener.
I'll just do the setups.
Okay.
And I said to him, why have you got an orange for a head? He said, I found an old lamp and I rubbed it and genie came out, granted me 3 wishes. My first wish, I wish for all the money in the world. And I got it. Second wish, I wish for the most beautiful wife and all the land. And it came true. And I said, what was your third wish? It said, I wish for my head to be turned into an orange.
It's such a funny joke.
It's great.
Oh, that's great.
Really great.
My favourite jokes when I was a kid were the really convoluted jokes where you'd have to do so much setup, but you could kind of see where it was going. Like, yeah. There was a joke that used to go around my school quite a lot that was about a guy who had a speech impediment and couldn't say bun.
Yeah.
He said bum.
Yeah.
And couldn't say ticket. He said lick it. And he couldn't say clock.
Yeah.
He said cock.
Yeah.
And of course the punchline is hold my bum and lick it while I take out my cock.
Yeah.
But you know what's coming. I loved it so much because you knew what was coming.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, like there were three guys and one's called, you know, F off and one's called shit and one's called manners. Yeah. You know, it's like just you know where the joke's going to go. Where's your manners? He's around the corner picking up shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, I mean, that was an absolute classic, that
an
one.
An absolute
policeman
classic.
Policeman says, maybe Axl Rose's name was Fuck Off. Maybe that whole story of him and Slash's grandmother was simply, was his name.
That was he was introducing himself.
Yeah, fuck you.
He was trying Fuck You out as a name before he picked Captain Blowjob.
Yeah.
Which he
said Fuck You, and then Slash took it the wrong way. He's like, I'm jumping out of this car. He doesn't understand.
I tell you what, I know we are allowed to swear, but it's an exhilarating thrill.
It is, isn't it?
To be able to be in a real radio studio.
I wonder.
But you're allowed to say drop an F-bomb. I have said F-off instead of saying
F-off earlier.
I've said it a few times now.
I didn't pick you up on it.
I know I'm allowed to swear, but it just still, it feels...
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Oh, we're so used to being good boys. We're both good boys, I think.
We are good boys.
You know, I think a lot of the time we've abided by the rules.
Yes.
But still managed to somehow hang out with people who are considered cool.
So considered rebels.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're the sort of wingmen for some genuine, you know.
All my friends in school were the smokers, the stoners.
Yeah, I hung out with the stoners as well, but never partook.
Never did.
Didn't enjoy it.
No, I never tried it once because it looked disgusting. That was all I needed. I just looked at it and that looks like the dirtiest thing in the world.
Yeah.
So I just never did it. But I had a friend who it really wound him up. That I didn't. He was like, just smoke with us, man. What are you doing? Just sitting there. I would do what I'm doing now. I would sit by the CD player and just put songs on all afternoon. And I'd be that guy.
Why not? You were DJing for stoners.
Yeah, I was loving it.
And it's set you up to do the exact same thing in your real life.
That's what I'm doing. All the listeners are stoners right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this is I think this is a great show to roll up a fatty, fire up a blunt.
Blaze it.
Just blaze.
Just blaze.
I've got one piece of advice. It's just blaze the good green.
the good green.
This is Cypress Hill.
James Acaster on Fubar Radio.
So my guest putting his iPod on shuffle is Mike Wozniak. Mike, let's delve into your iTunes.
Oh, God.
I'm going to press shuffle now, and we're going to see what it throws up. Here we go. Mike Wozniak's iPod. Let's see what it throws up this time, shall we? Exciting. Exciting dark times. Here we go. Ho-ho!
Got to be sick.
Red Hot Chili Peppers. Nice. They're Red Hot, is that what that song is called?
I haven't listened to that for years.
It's a cover,
many,
right?
Many, many years.
Many, but it's from Blood Sugar Sex Magik. Some would say a classic.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah?
Not comedian Ellis James.
I imagine Ellis James despises the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
He really hates them. And we, like, we had a difficult point in our friendship quite early on when... He asked me, do you like the Red Hot Chili Peppers? And I had no idea that it was a test or a trap or something. And I knew he was into music and playing in bands and stuff.
Yeah.
I had no reason to. I mean, this might have been after the Out of Time bollocking
that
you mentioned earlier on.
So I told you to stick up for what you like.
Exactly. And I said, yeah, I love them. I've even seen them live. And he jumped down my bloody throat.
I bet. I mean, flesh out Ellis James for people who don't know him.
Flesh out Ellis James. So Ellis James is very, very Welsh, Western Welsh, Welsh-speaking Welshman. And comedian of an extraordinary raconteur. Like, the best thing to do with Ellis James, he's sort of small and Welshy and goat-like with very thick thighs.
Yeah.
Very thick thighs. And people might have seen him do stand-up, people might have seen him in Crims and lots of... He's done lots of stuff you might have seen him in.
Yeah.
Best thing to do with Ellis James is just set him off on an anecdote.
Yes.
That's what you need to do, just because once the first domino goes...
Yeah.
And you can just be... I mean, I've never come across a better storyteller in my life.
Yes.
Just, I mean, he'll... And he'll be up on his feet. He'll be bouncing around on tables and bar stools and things.
Yep.
He'll be giving voice to the characters.
Yeah, that's very good. It embodies the characters.
Yeah, I'd say
he's quite. You know, he's not as a. If you were going to compare Ellis to the Red Hot Chili Peppers, he's not as sexually liberated as them. Maybe.
I don't know. I mean, we know that. Well, yeah, I don't know.
They're very sexual. Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I'm sure he has a sexual side.
Imagine Ellis going on stage wearing just a sock on his penis?
I couldn't imagine him doing that, but there's other ways of getting your end away, isn't there? There's other ways of... I mean, that isn't sex. You know that isn't sex, right? You know having sex isn't putting a sock on your penis.
No?
Right, there's more to it. There are similarities between a sock going on your penis and...
Yeah.
And having sex. But
that's when something goes on your penis, you've had sex, haven't you?
As long as it covers the whole thing.
Yeah, if it covers the whole thing, if your penis disappears...
Then the fabric itself is irrelevant.
Yeah, yeah. Whatever it is on you, it doesn't matter.
Could be human, could be anything. Yeah.
As long as it disappears.
But he's got a sexual side. I'm sure he does.
Yeah, but not compared to them. I mean, I would think he would find the Red Hot Chili Peppers vulgar.
He's not
and childish.
Is that what it is?
I think he would be like, oh, stop it. Put it away.
I don't think that was his objection. I think he thought they were... I think he thought if you liked them, then you hadn't thought about it properly, basically. That was the only problem. You jumped on a bandwagon.
Yeah. I mean, they're not the kind of band I would expect you to like.
Right.
To be fair. I mean, I don't know if the mics are picking that up, but it's very exciting. There's an ice cream van outside.
So that's the end of the show, right?
Yeah, when the ice cream van's here, forget it. I don't care. I don't care what's
going
on.
Straight out the window.
It's called Stars and Stripes, that ice cream van is. I mean, I don't know if anyone in London is very... if that would lure them in.
So, yeah,
brilliant. American ice cream.
I'm up for it. I'll give it a go.
That's pretty good. It says it's got multi flavours in it and a flake. Do ice cream vans have number plates?
It seems so.
I can't see one on that one.
Well, that's because you're looking at it sideways on, mate.
I can see a bit at the back. Just wondering if it would have a number plate or not. It kind of ruined all the... You've got all the cartoons on it and stuff like that and nice ice cream stuff.
I think they probably do have to be...
Ruin the whole look if you had a number plate there.
Yeah. I don't know. If you see an ice cream man without a number plate, then either it's going to be used in a pretty exciting-looking armed robbery.
Yeah.
That would be a lot of fun. Or it's just a figment of your imagination.
Really?
Yeah.
So be imagining it.
That's why... I didn't think so, because I can see it too.
Right.
So I assume...
Can you see the number plate from where you are?
No, because as I've already told you, we're looking at it from the side.
Are you looking at it from the side?
I'm looking at it from the side. We're
pretty much the same angle. You're at the other side of that desk. I thought you might be able to see the back from where you are.
Do you think that you can see round corners?
You might be able to see from where you are.
The visual equivalent of, like, Wanted.
Yeah. I thought you might be able to see it from where you are, if that ice cream van's got a number plate or not. No. It says Mind That Child normally at the back.
Yeah, and then the number plate.
Oh, I can see it. I can see it says Mind That Child. I can see that. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, what? After the show, let's go down and check it out. Let's hope that it hasn't moved on. We'll have a look.
We'll see. Have a look.
We'll ask them for their tax information and their insurance details and make sure everything's above board.
And then take an ice cream as a bribe.
Yeah. That's the way to do it.
If I had an ice cream van, whatever song I'm going to play next on my iPod would be my jingle that I would play.
Oh, okay.
I've decided. Okay?
Go.
Here we go. Let's see what it is.
Oh.
Joanna Newsom. I don't know if many people would flock to the ice cream van. Well, who knows? Joanna Newsom with N Gallop. I mean, I don't know what.
It was very pleasant.
I mean, I don't really know how that's pronounced.
We had a quiet moment here, didn't we, really? All sort of settled and, you know.
Little lullaby for us.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Take the edge off.
Very nice feeling.
Just calm down for a minute.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, if I did have an ice cream van, that wouldn't draw the crowds in.
No.
It would get people too relaxed.
No, you'd be very serene.
I think the mood you need for ice cream is amped up and, you know, properly, like, let's do this.
You need to get people, accessing the sort of sugar zone. The hype zone.
Tapping into that part of them.
Yeah, unless it was a sort of, like, ice cream and sort of, I don't know, philosophical tidbits and advice, something like that. Just sit there pondering to the harp.
So you can run to the fan
and sell one ice cream a day.
Can I have some advice and...
Exactly, and a flake.
A flake,
please. A flake on that advice, yeah.
99 for the... Do your children like ice cream? Because...
Yes.
The reason why I ask this, I remember you're very, very good at feeding them healthy food.
Yeah.
When I've seen you feed them.
We're very good at working up the sort of veneer whenever we have visitors.
Right.
Highly functioning.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, as soon as you're out the door, Smarties being smashed up and, you
just know, everything.
Rammed them down the throats.
So you just give them fruit, and that would be their sweets.
Yeah.
And they love them.
Yeah, but now they've I mean, the big one has gone out into the world.
Other kids.
Yeah, so no. Yeah. So that ship has sailed.
Yeah.
They still like fruit. I mean, they like food generally. But I mean, if you put a banana on a table, put it next to an ice cream, they're not idiots.
That's
true. They'd go straight. Yeah, yeah. They'd
actually
know about it.
I bought the big one a mini milk.
Yeah. Still a big fan of the mini milk.
I did do that. And suddenly I existed for a while
during that
window.
Yeah, yeah. And she's still a big fan of them, but she's also got wise to other ice creams now. So like the little one, we give them a mini milk and she's like, this is the ultimate thing.
Yes.
The big one knows that there's weird twisters, spirally things with bright green colours and, you know. She's like, what about that one? Oh, no, that one's not. Anyway, never mind. Yeah.
Someone once told me that the twister, the ice cream twister, was invented by someone from Kettering.
Oh. Did the person who tell you that come from Kettering?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I have no reason to doubt it.
Right. And but what else did they claim was invented in Kettering?
That was it. Just the
car.
Just the
combustion engine.
Yep.
Juggling,
manners.
Wheels.
Yep.
Nasal breathing.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm very good at that.
And 20/20 vision.
Yep. I've got 20/20 vision, actually.
Same here.
Everyone else in my family has glasses.
Ah.
Weird.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, but, like, they've always had glasses their whole lives.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, that sounds like there's a sort of paternity issue there, my friend. This is the way you've discovered it.
No, I should not have said that to a doctor.
You should have worked that out a long time ago.
James, you were clearly...
You were clearly found.
Should we go back to your iTunes?
Why not? I mean, it's got to go ugly soon, hasn't it? The iTunes,
yeah.
Surely?
Oh.
It's been right so far.
And Red Hot Chili Peppers last, which Ellis James would flip out about, but yeah, most people would let you off the hook, I think. But let's see what's next. Have a little go. And the Blues Breakers on FUBAR. Mike Wozniak's iPod. I mean, strong.
Strong, I'm
very
thrilled.
Very strong.
I'm completely thrilled. I mean, it's been, yeah.
We haven't really had any blues on the show yet. And that's the first bit of proper blues I think we've had,
yeah,
maybe. Apologies if it's not and someone else's.
I'm entirely thrilled. I mean, the shuffle has been kind to me.
Yeah.
It hasn't unearthed any sort of really sort of ugly skeletons.
Mm. And what that reminds me, what the blues reminds me of, I did a music course,
yeah,
in college,
yeah,
a BTEC,
yeah,
which is unusable, by the way.
Yeah.
In any part-time BTEC course.
You don't have to tell me. I mean, your life and your stories and your experiences and your what you're capable of doing.
Yep.
I mean, you'd definitely be one of the first up against a wall and under the meat cleaver,
yeah,
if it came to it.
Yeah,
you'd be first in that flowery bap.
Just not needed at all.
In terms of the Alpine,
useless.
Know, sort of, you know, if our helicopter goes down on the Rockies,
yeah,
you know, yeah.
I'm not the first person you'd want to eat, though. I mean, you know, there's not much.
Wouldn't want to eat you.
Not much meat on me.
No, I mean, you'd be useful in a stock or something like that.
Okay,
but you know, you would.
Yeah,
you know, sort of broth. I could probably get a decent broth out of you.
Acaster broth.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'll settle for that. But when I did my music course, which, you know, I was unaware at the time that it was going to contribute to me turning into a broth one day, but we did a keyboard skills lesson.
Yeah.
And we all sat in like a horseshoe shape behind our keyboards.
Yep.
And we played the 12-bar blues.
Facing each other with your backs to each other?
Facing each other.
Yeah.
Facing inwards. We're all playing the 12-bar blues over and over again. And my friend Graham was right at the end, and then me, and then Will Shirkle, and then it just went around all the other kids in the class.
Yeah.
And Graham had to go to the toilet. He was excused.
Okay.
Left, we're all playing 12-bar blues. And he came back really laughing. He sat next to me and said, "You've got to go to the toilet and look in the middle cubicle." So I went, and it was the biggest poo I've ever seen.
Well, that is not a twist I was expecting from this story.
It was the biggest poo in the world.
Right.
And it
playing
was
the 12-bar blues?
No, it wasn't. It was just sitting in the bowl. But it was like the thickness of somebody's arm.
Uh-huh.
And it rose above the waterline and disappeared round the U-bend unbroken the whole time. It was amazing.
Right.
I came back real looking, like, you know, my life had changed.
Yeah.
And Will Shirkle said to me, "What are you laughing at?" So go and look in the middle cubicle.
Oh, man.
So Will Shirkle went, and it went around the entire horseshoe, and until eventually the teacher...
The 12-bar blues is continuing throughout.
Still playing
this,
the 12-bar blues.
As each of you goes out on your individual...
Little... Even the
coming of age
even
story.
The girls, even the girls going in the boys' toilets to see it in pairs. The teacher finally went in, because he was like, "What are you doing?
Yeah.
Why are you all going to the toilet?" So he went out and saw it, and he thought it was amazing. He really thought it was brilliant.
Oh, wow.
Then we all really laughed when we were playing the 12-bar blues, because we were imagining that the 12-bar blues brought the poo to life, and he would rise out of the toilet and come dancing in. The poo would come dancing like a Tim Burton kind
come
of character.
Jam.
Yeah, like just like, you know.
You think that poo sold its soul to the devil at the crossroads?
Yeah, I think
so. In exchange for...
I think so.
James Acaster on FUBAR Radio.
Marcus Bentley, hello.
Hi, Jim.
My guest today, Marcus Bentley, best known as the voice of Big Brother. Well, not of Big Brother, because that's other people, isn't it, really?
Yeah,
so you wouldn't be, you're not Big Brother yourself.
I'm the narrator of Big Brother, tier one in the Big Brother house and all that jazz.
Yeah, yeah. I think for the rest of the show,
We will do stuff from your iPod, and we will choose. I mean, it's gone against the spirit of the show, but you know what? When one of our iPods breaks or the other one, we can't figure out how to shuffle it. We've got to improvise.
Right, I've got it. Here we go.
Great. This flower of scores, this film's on a man in the
who's close, don't feel us right. I'm to blame. It's all the same. It's all the same. You come to me with the phone in your hand. You come to me with your hair curled tight. You come to me with positions. It's crazy what you could have had. It's crazy what you could have had. I need this. I need this. It's crazy what you could have had.
FUBAR Radio. REM, Country Feedback. Pleasure to play that song. I think that might be my favourite REM song as well, I think.
Do you know they as a band, I know they've retired now.
Yes.
But the song that they would never play live was, what's it called?
Shiny Happy People?
Shiny Happy People, because they couldn't stand it, you know.
Yeah.
Shame. I think it's quite a good song.
I like it. I think it's nice.
Yeah, and it's got the it's a famous, yeah, and it was on,
singer?
They did it on Sesame Street or something like that.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
That's probably what it was.
Shiny, yeah, I think.
It's a nice song.
Yeah.
B-52 singers on it. They came from the same place.
Athens, Georgia.
Yeah, Athens, Georgia. And they were friends with a lot of people, weren't they? I think Black Flag they were friends with.
Got a bit of Black Flag on there, I think, as
have
well.
Have you?
Yeah.
Lovely. So I think Henry Rollins has a story about when REM got their first gold album. Gold record, and he was in the kitchen with Stipe.
Yeah.
And that's how he talks about it. So it's like, I was in the kitchen with Stipe. So he got a phone call, and he's on the record label, and then he's saying, yeah, thanks, goodbye, and then turned to Henry Rollins and went, how much is a gold record? How many do you have to sell for? He didn't even know. He was just like, how many have we sold? And it's like, I don't know. And then the other knew, and they go, oh, we better ask someone.
Yeah.
So I haven't got any concept of what I've just achieved. I don't know what that means. Can we play Redondo Beach by Patti Smith?
All right, let's have a look.
I mean, that's probably my favourite song on that album, I'd say. Some people might disagree. I like that one myself. First heard it when Morrissey covered it, actually. That's where I first came across that song.
All right, here we go.
Cool. Everyone was singing. Smith, Redondo Beach, lovely song about someone going missing. Actually, we were talking about true crime and stuff. That is about someone she was with. Well, I don't think it's autobiographical. Someone she was with getting found washed up on Redondo Beach.
Jolly little tune as well, isn't it? You know,
it's lovely, jolly. Yeah, it feels really nice and jaunty. And then you listen to the lyrics, go, oh, yeah, she's talking about someone committing suicide. But good song.
Yeah.
It's a good song.
Absolutely. It's a great album, that.
Yeah, really nice. I don't know what I was going to ask you a minute ago. I was going to ask you, every time there's like a Geordie contestant on Big Brother, do you root for them? Do you find yourself rooting for them?
No, not at all. I'd only root for somebody that I thought was a... It's like this thing, isn't it? Back in the...
Yeah.
I'm going to stop saying back in the day, that's the last time. But do you remember on X Factor, they used to say if any contestant was a Scotsman,
right.
A Scots person, that the Scots would vote. And then I thought, either matter how good though, you know. And we had a person on our show, and he was absolutely despised by the public in general.
Yeah.
And he came second. And I reckon it was only because of the Scots vote.
Really?
The Scottish vote. He's thinking, oh my goodness, why?
But more and more now.
I would never do that. No, I don't even think it. You know, I think, oh great, oh good on you, no.
But more and more now, the public would almost vote to keep the awful people in because it's more entertaining to watch, won't they?
Yes, occasionally. Because this weird thing they do, right? They Big Brother, they do this either vote to evict or vote to save. Now, if you're sort of a controversial character, you get, you're attracting more... You're attracting loads of people that like you, but they can't vote for you. You know, you vote for somebody else to get them out. That's difficult if there's three, four people up.
So the episode that I had to watch... There's someone called Toya on it.
Toya Washington. Yeah,
being horrible. But then, like when I was on that panel thing for Big Mouth, they loved her.
Yeah,
they were all going save her, save Toya. She's great.
Yeah,
and I didn't understand. I was like, what is it about? She's been going around. Yeah, like because she was going around and she was going. I just tell people what I think of them. I'm just honest.
Yeah,
and all this. And so she'd go up to people. And kind of say really horrible things to them about what she thinks about them that weren't really true either. Like, they wouldn't have even really done much back. So, if someone was nice, that's the thing. So, if someone was like maybe a bit rude, she'd go up to them and just be like, you know, you are the worst person I've ever met, and really rude, and it'd be really horrible to them. But if someone was nice and polite, she'd go, you're really fake, and you pretend to be nice to people, but you're not. Yeah. I know that. So, basically, her assumption was. Everyone in their heart is horrible, and so no matter what, you either. So if someone lost their temper back at her, and said to her, "Well, look, you're just going around being rude to people all the time and being a bully," and then she'd go, "You showing your true colours," and then that'd be it, because then it's like well, you can't really win against that kind of, because you're just going if you're. And it's like, well, what about you? You show your true colours?
To contradict myself, actually, the girl, there was a lady that won Big Brother called Helen, and she was infamous in the papers for, famous, whatever, for sleeping with a famous footballer.
Congratulations.
Apparently caught, you know, she admitted it and whatever. Yeah. So she got a bit notoriety, and then she got in on the normal Big Brother, and she was a very controversial character. She's very much in your face, and she'd shout people down, swear a lot, quite sort of, I am what I am, I say what I said, and blah, blah. And she went and won it, and she was one of the first, well, she was the first and only winner of Big Brother ever to get booed when she came out. Oh, it was terrible, embarrassing almost.
Crazy.
But she was such a controversial character, and... A lot of people loved her, and she, how she survived was she randomly got this sort of past the final, and in the first year she got like immunity from all nomination eviction right to the final, and that kept her in, so she never had to face the vote of evict, and it was only the vote to win at the end, and she won it. So there you go.
It's crazy, isn't it? Episodes like that, like the one I had to watch with, you know, that toilet lady. There's a lot of people like that in life. She's, you know. A lot of people will relate to her.
Yeah.
You go, I just tell people what I think, I just speak my mind, and you go around assuming the worst and being really horrible to people. When I see that, I proper just go, we're fucked.
Yeah.
I mean, we're really in trouble. Every now and again, there's a nice one wins it. That's nice.
Yes.
That's good. I mean, the first one, you know, the guy, Craig, when he was giving all his money to...
Craig's a great bloke, and he does a lot for charity these days, and I still sort of bump into him now and again, and he's got... A career which has lasted since then. He's some sort of like on one of the channels and doing like his own building programs. He was a builder, so he'll teach people to do whatever, I believe. Yes. Anyway, but he's a nice bloke. But in the Big Brother 1, he basically slept for. Was it 9 weeks? He slept for 8 weeks. He woke to give Nasty Nick what he thought of him, and then the pretty went, Nasty Nick.
Down.
And then he won the show.
Yeah. That's all you got to do. Quality, not quantity.
Yes.
Do nothing. Get up. Dress someone down.
Do something good, and then...
And then people go, great, you've won. Also, he said he was going to give all his money to a young lady with Down syndrome, right?
Yes, and I believe he did, I think I was asking him the other month about how I bumped into him and said, whatever happened to that? She died. She passed away.
Oh, God.
And I don't know if she ever got the operation, but it was a really nice thought. And a big emotional scene at the end.
I think if the public don't vote for someone like that to win when they say that, you're going, what hope is there? But good on them. Let's have another song.
Okay,
we haven't got long left, actually, but we'll play another song, because I need the mother of all pisses. So we're going to play this song, and then I can go to the toilet.
All right.
And then, what song are you going to pick?
It's going to be a Pixies, because I love the Pixies.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned
this is
them.
Live. This is one of my favourites, and it's called Debaser.
Lovely. Shut up! live, the Pixies. The toilet that I went to, because I'd be quick, it was the ladies' toilet on this floor. Normally empty. Not today. Had to negotiate with a lady going in there at the same time as me, explain what was happening, and then her basically explained to me that I was being overly considerate about it and that it was fine. But she, I think I made myself more suspicious by being like...
It's like a Larry David sketch, this, isn't it?
Yeah, it's exactly what I'm playing. It's debated by the Pixies. It's not a very long song. And I was currently going downstairs to where the gents are because I don't know the code for the doors, so I have to just nip in here. But I'll wait for you to come out. It's okay. She's like, no, come in the toilet. It's fine. And it was all right. But, yeah, I mean... And then on my way out, there was a lady going in. So it looked like I'd just gone in with a lady I was originally with, and now she's going to get raised eyebrows in the office for the rest of the week. I've ruined her life. Thank you very much, Marcus, for coming in this week.
I've loved it. It's gone so quickly, so that means I've been having fun.
Flown by. What are you up to tonight? You got anything nice planned?
Well, I'm taking my son and I. We're going to go down to Brickley and then we're going to look for a really good curry.
Great. Hey, we've been talking about so much music. Go to Rough Trade. That's down Brick Lane.
Yeah, and we are going to go. We go there every time and buy a couple of LPs. That's what we'll do. Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Marcus. Marcus Bentley. You. Everyone, if this is a full studio, they'd all be applauding you now.
Can I play one more song?
You can play one more song.
Oh, this is a very famous song. I just thought because this is it was once a part of a Big Brother promo, and it's a very very famous song. AC/DC, Back in Black.
Lovely stuff.
On FUBAR Radio.